First John chapter 5. I'm going to read some familiar scripture tonight, but I believe this would be the message that the Lord would have us to preach tonight. And I'm going to go along with the song that that Sister Tricia and Miss Sarah sung tonight. I want to preach having a thought, a very simple thought, but it is an important thought tonight on being saved and knowing it. I think it's important that you know that you're saved tonight. And I think it's important that you know why you're saved tonight. So let's look in 1 John chapter 5 and look in verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. Let me say this tonight. If you're going to believe what man has to tell you, then you certainly ought to believe what God has to tell you tonight. Amen? Listen, if you're going to believe what man has to say, you can certainly believe what God has to say. And He says, this is the witness which God, witness of God, which He had testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. But we sung about that tonight, page 305, the old rugged cross. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Here it is, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you again and that for just a wonderful time that we've already had. And the choir singing, the special singing, boy, how you stirred our heart. And Lord, we thank you for that tonight. Just some memories as they sung that song. You didn't leave us the way that you found us. And boy, we're just glad that you come by and squeezed on us tonight. And Lord, as we preach for a little while, we need you to touch. And Lord, we certainly desire that to be anointed fresh from heaven. Nothing good that I can do, but Lord, if I just follow you, you'd help tonight. I have no doubt with the Word of God. Help somebody tonight that might be lost. Somebody might be sitting here struggling tonight in doubt on their salvation. And I pray that you would help them. Encourage the ones that are saved tonight. Lord, we do pray and we thank you for all your blessings. Help us now while we preach for just a little while for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in verse 13, we find that little John, he said right here that you may know that you have eternal life. And I believe tonight that every one of us sitting in here and everyone listening by way of radio or whether you're on the internet, you can know that you're saved. Amen. You can know that tonight. But we need to deal with how and what it means to get saved. I'm determined that there is probably a great amount of people sitting on church pews and got their name on church rolls that are not saved. I had mine on a church roll for a long time. I've made a profession. But friend, there was never a difference and that made in my life. And let me say tonight that I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation, but I want you to know that. Amen. I want you to understand my job is not to talk to you out of it. My job is to tell you what it means to be saved and whether you got it down on the inside or not. But listen, John said that you may know that you have eternal life. And can I say by way of introduction tonight that there's no better time to get saved than right now. I mean, hey, today is the day of salvation. What did he say in 2 Corinthians? For he had said, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I've secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I believe you need to get saved now. You know, Dave, hey, when God deals with a sinner's heart and dealt with my heart, I'm glad I moved in the now, amen, and didn't wait any longer than I did. I'll be honest with you, I've told you before, I don't know if God, I don't remember if God dealt with me and that prior to the night that I got saved, He may have. and I just don't remember. But I do remember that night. Amen. He dealt with my heart and afflicted my heart and squeezed on my heart and said that I needed to get saved. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." New, I need to come now. In Galatians chapter 2, we find that not only do you need to come now, but quickly tonight you need to understand that your works cannot save you. You cannot be good enough and that to be saved. Listen, when you stand before God, listen, it's not going to be to weigh the good against the bad and see if you get in. The very fact of the matter is, what He's looking for is to see if you're blood-bought. I've been washed by the Son of God tonight in His blood, and that is all that matters tonight. Galatians 2 said, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." There's no amount of baptism, there's no amount of church membership, there's no amount of our worth, there's no amount of our goodness. He said in Isaiah 64 and 6, that all of our righteousnesses are as filth and rags. Colossians 2 and 10, he said, "And ye are complete in Him who is the head of the Godhead." Listen, tonight I'm complete in Him tonight. But why be saved today? If you're unsaved, why be saved today? Why can't I put it off, preacher? Why can't I put off salvation? I think most of us sitting here know why you can't put off salvation, because tomorrow may never come. You know, we may, just as soon as the lights come on tonight, you could fall dead this evening. I mean, it's just, I'm just being honest, friend. People fall dead all the time. Do you know that? I mean, out of all this great world that we're upon, what is it? What are we pushing? 6 billion or 7 billion people? There's people slipping off this earth, one right after another into eternity. And you need to be ready to go. You know, Genesis chapter 6, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." James chapter 4 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away." We're just here today and gone tomorrow, and what matters is what you've done in the middle of it all in trusting Christ. First of all, let me say that number one, what must you do to be saved? Is that not what that Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, after Paul and Silas had sang and prayed down there in the dungeon, if you'd let me say that, and God shook the foundations of that prison and the doors come flying open and he was one heartbeat away, one breath away, one step away of putting that sword through his heart and dying and spend eternity in hell without Jesus. But that Philippian jailer had enough smarts about him and he flew in there to Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That old boy got under conviction, didn't he? I mean, hey, it took the prison doors swinging up. Hey, I'm going to tell you, sometimes it takes a dramatic time in somebody's life for God to bring them to Christ. Amen. Sometimes He's got to get folks' eyes open where they can see they need Him. And this is what's happened right here. No doubt that Philippian jailer knew why Paul and Silas was there. Listen, I'm telling you, all the ruckus that them boys was causing in town, there's no doubt he had heard what was going on, and they dragged them boys in and told him to take care of them, and he puts them in the inner part of the prison, and they're sitting down there singing and praying. I doubt what they'd ever seen that before. Amen. I'm telling you, you ought to go on there sometime. Go on the internet and watch Brother Roloff's Freedom's Last Call. They put Brother Roloff in jail for preaching and running that girl's home down in Corpus Christi, Texas. And boy, every time I see that, my heart gets turned upside down. Man, there's a multitude of people went to jail with him. And you ought to see, I mean, he was singing on his way to jail. And it beats all. I don't know if I could have sung on my way to jail. I don't know. And girls asked him, do you love Jesus? And boy, he got to singing, yes, I love Jesus. Can you tell me how you love Jesus? Because he first loved me. And then boy got to singing about Jesus. These men, no doubt, I don't know what they were singing, but I'd say they were singing something about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He had made a difference in their life, and it was making a difference in that Philippian jailer's life. But he came conscious and realized that he was lost. You got to come to a conscious state and realize that you're lost without God tonight. I'm telling you, I'm glad I come to that place one Sunday night. Realize that the Lord is seeking you out. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 15 tonight, if you would. I look back at that time here lately. I've been looking at it quite a bit, at my life. And just a young boy that growed up in church. Know that God loved him. And I'm glad I still know that God loves me. But boy, I'm glad He spoke to my heart. Luke chapter 15. I want you to look with me in verse 4. And the Bible said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? You see, that couldn't find his way. Sheep was lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. Rejoice. And I'll deal with that here in a minute. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over what? Over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons, which need no repentance. You know why that old shepherd had to lay that sheep up there on his shoulders? He took that sheep and he reached down in there, and I know that I love that portion of Scripture. Can you imagine? I think about that sheep being out there, and he had got away, and he had got away from the shepherd and the rest of the sheep. And boy, that shepherd comes out there, and I always kind of wondered if that sheep wasn't bleating out. And boy, making that sound that the sheep makes, hoping that somebody would hear him. I'm going to tell you, deep down in a sinner's heart, they're looking for some help. They may not admit it. They may not want to tell you that. But there's a void of something missing on the inside. And boy, they know that something's wrong. And I have no doubt when that sheep got out there by himself, he realized something's wrong. Hey, this ain't right. And so when that shepherd comes along, I would say that that sheep was tickled to death. When that shepherd came along. I don't know if he had to reach down there with his shepherd's staff, with his hook, and reach him and get him out of that ditch, if you'd let me say that tonight. But the Bible said that he reached down there and he picked him up and laid him on his shoulders. He's got two legs laying over here, two legs laying over here. A head laid down over here and his backside over here. And boy, he's carrying him to the house. Can I tell you tonight? Oh, what a great symbol of us. There is no way that we could have got to Christ on our own. He had to come where we were. Oh, I'm so glad He came to where I was. Listen, I couldn't have done it without Him. That sheep couldn't have got home by himself tonight. Well, I'll never forget, listen to Mays Jackson preaching. But he says, you take sheep out here, put him down here at the end of the road, he'll never find his way home. You can travel 60 miles and drop an old alley cat off, and he'll beat you back home. Listen, sheep just can't find their way. I couldn't have found my way without Christ Jesus the Lord tonight. Boy, I'm telling you, the night that I got saved, boy, heaven got excited. The night that you got saved, heaven got excited. But listen, tonight, I want you to understand the Lord may be seeking you tonight. The Lord may be seeking you, knocking on your heart's door. And looking for you. If you're lost tonight, let me ask you, what bothers your heart tonight? What bothers your heart? Worrying about dying? Worried about slipping off into eternity? Preach on hell, and boy, it scares you to death. And I'm going to tell you, if you're lost, you should be scared about hell tonight. And I want you to know Christ is the one that died for you because you're lost tonight. Nothing good in yourself. Nothing good. As we sing about the old rugged cross tonight, the Bible said, look at Romans chapter 5, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know something tonight. Jesus took your place at Calvary, paid for your sin, and all you have to do is come and trust him tonight. Listen, all you have to do is realize that you're a sinner. Realize, I got to think about this as I was looking over this message tonight. We make salvation way too hard sometimes. A lot of people might call me that I believe in easy believism, but I do not. I do believe that, let me say this tonight. I think there's a lot of people that go soul winning and they say, do you want to go to heaven? Who don't want to go to heaven? I mean, who don't want to go to heaven tonight? Sure, everybody wants to go to heaven. And if you say, yes, I want to go to heaven, then all you have to do is say this prayer and God will save you. I'm going to tell you tonight, if God ain't working on your heart, He can't save you tonight. He's got to show you that you're lost first. I believe God's got to deal with a man, woman, boy, or girl's heart and deal with him. I show them he's got to come to you. I the Bible except the Father, I would you sent me, draw him. You must be drawn by the Holy Spirit and that to the Savior tonight. But when you get drawn and that to the Savior tonight, you come and believe. You come and believe that he can save you and ask him to save you now. You really preacher, you really believe it's that easy tonight to get saved? The Bible put it like this in Romans chapter 10. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you drop down to verse 13, and he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The way that I got saved, some people would probably say that was easy believism, but listen, the night that I got saved, I know that I was lost, I know that I needed to get saved, I know that he had saved me, I come to an altar and ask him, and I believe he done it. It's a done deal. Is it really that easy? It's really that easy tonight. So being saved. So you must come and believe that Jesus is the one that can save you. You must have faith in him. Ephesians chapter 2 said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John chapter 5, and we find the story of Martha over there talking to Jesus. And listen, Lazarus is now dead, and Jesus has waited for that to happen. And they, when Jesus gets there in John chapter 5, they said, Lord, if you wouldn't tarry, said our brother would not have died. And listen, I'm not in John 5, but over in John chapter 11. Let me get there. I'm in the wrong spot here. That didn't look right to me there for a minute. I thought, what's going on here? I believe it's John chapter 11 that I need to be in here. There we go. John chapter 11. And Jesus, let's see here. Let me back up here. Verse 21. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Boy, she knew something right there. She knew that if Jesus had been there, he would have healed Lazarus. But listen, Lord, I know that whatever you ask of God in heaven, the Father in heaven, he'll do it. And so in verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Even she knew about the resurrection. But here's what verse 25 said. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? It's all about believing. There's not a lick of work nowhere. There's not a lick of religion nowhere. Hey, there's a lot of folk depending on their work and their religion to get into heaven. I'm not dependent on being the pastor of this church. I'm not dependent on being a preacher to get into heaven. I'm dependent on what I trusted in Jesus Christ. When I was 14 years old, as a boy, I'm dependent on that right there. What I'm dependent on. But I'm dependent on the Word of God to have told me the truth and to know the truth. And I know that's what's going to get me in. And I'll just put this in here too. I've watched too many of them cross. I know when it comes time to cross, there'll be grace there to cross too. He'll take the worries away about crossing Jordan. I'm glad of that tonight. But saving faith, you must receive Him. He comes in and sets up residence. What did we see in little John in verse 12? He that hath the Son hath life. So He sets up residence on the inside when we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes in. Now I'm glad that salvation is not based on feelings. You ever run into somebody and say, how do you know? You say, well, I feel saved. Well, what about tomorrow? What are you going to do when the devil comes by and jumps up? And I'm getting a little ahead of myself right here, and I'll deal with it here in a minute. But what are you going to do when the devil jumps up on your shoulder and begins to tell you you ain't saved? And he'll begin to challenge you about your salvation. What are you going to do then? Hey, you better have a foundation that you can stand on. I mean, listen, what did he say? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry and lifted me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet where? Upon a rock and established my going. I got planted on something. I didn't get planted on feelings. I got planted on a foundation, you see, when I got saved. Something that I could believe. Something that I could trust. I'm glad that there is salvation on the inside of me that I can feel. I'm talking about when them girls was singing that song, you didn't leave me waiting any family. Boy, I'm telling you, it's squeezing on my heart. Because there's something different. Well, once I got saved. And so that brings me to number two. How do I know that I am saved? You look in verse 13. He said that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you know that you're saved? That's a good question, ain't it? How do you know that? If somebody come to you and said, how do you know if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? How do you know right now that God would let you in? How do you know right now? I mean, how do you know that you're saved? First of all, there must have been a time that He dealt with you and drew you. There must be a time that you come in faith and trusted Him. It's got to be there. But you know the great thing, let me say this tonight. The great thing even about that is that if we forget, if we lose our mind and we forget that, He still got us. Amen? If we doubt that, and I'll deal with that here in a minute, He still got us. Bible said even if we believe not, over in the, where is it? In the book of 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy. He said, even if we believe not, He cannot deny Himself. We're part of Him tonight. But there must be a time, at least in that you come to Him, that He knocked on your heart, and that He drew you, and that unto Him. I'm not talking about coming to an altar with other people. I'm not coming to an altar because a preacher asked you to come. I'm talking about you knelt somewhere because the Holy Spirit dealt with your heart. But then there was a change that took place. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Brother Ted Pegram said a few years before he passed away with that cancer, he said, I know the Lord saved me because He changed me. Brother Ted got saved around 30 years old, and he would gamble away the rent money and the house money, and he'd drink the rest of it. And boy, when God saved him, it made a difference in his life. Made a difference in his life. Boy, I'm telling you, I'll share this. I may cut it out before it goes on the radio. But Sister Pat shared with us. That was her with us this morning, by the way. But when she was here on a Wednesday night, she was sharing with me and Kelly. She said, before we got saved, she said, me and Ted was going to get a divorce. She said our life was so miserable. And so just in such a place we couldn't get along with each other. She said, we was going to go get a divorce. And said, we went and found the divorce lawyer in town. And they'd already adopted two of their nephews or something, her nephews or his. And said, we got there and said that we sat down and that lawyer said, he looked at us, we told him the story and said, he looked at us and said, I never do this. Said it was on a Friday. And said, if you'll go home and think about it over the weekend and you still want a divorce, you come back and you see me Monday. Now, I don't know if it was on that Sunday that they got saved. But I'll get her to tell that story to you sometime. She said, I was on one side of the church on the altar getting saved. And he was on the other side. Well, you talk about changing a house. Boy, when Jesus comes in, oh, it changes everything. It makes a difference in everything. Boy, you know why houses are so turned upside down and this world's in the shape that it's in? It don't have Christ in it tonight. She said, I didn't even know he was over there getting saved. Well, I'm telling you, God do miraculous things, can't he? Well, how do I know? There has to be a change in your heart. He said, preacher, was there a great change at 14 years old? There was, but I really couldn't see it at that time. I remember that friends started to change in school. I do remember that, looking back. I remember, boy, it didn't take me but just about a week. I was getting rid of some friends that I didn't need. I'm beginning to make friends that I didn't need. And I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world when Jesus comes in. Gives you peace and joy and comfort. You know what? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. He said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You don't know how else you know that you say? You love God's people. Now some of them are hard to like. I'm going to be honest with you. They some people that I will avoid. I'm not talking about worldly people. I'm talking about church people. But I love them. I love them in the Lord. I'll do anything that I can to help them. But man, they're hard to get along with. But I love them. I really do. I love them. Listen, if we come to meeting together, I could meet with them. I could fellowship with them in that in Christ. Listen, I love to come to church and meet with y'all. I love to go to church and fellowship around Christ Jesus the Lord. And He shed blood according to 1 John chapter 1. I love God's people. Don't you just love to be around God's people? They don't even have to be our church people. They just got to be God's people. Well, Jeremiah's talking about that while he was preaching today. You tell in just a minute or two, and that Spirit will begin to bear witness one with another. Love God's people. Love God's Word. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. There's a lot of people saying that they're saved, but boy, they ain't keeping the Word of God. I know we mess up. I know we foul up and we don't get it all right all the time. But listen, there's some people out there telling me they're saved, but man, they're living like the world. I mean, they're living like the devil. They're living like the world, doing what they want to with no conviction, no change in their life. There's something and that wrong with them tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about how that we were sealed and that with the Holy Spirit of promise. When we got saved. Ephesians chapter 1. I believe it's somewhere around verse 13 and 14. As it's talking about Christ. He said, in whom also you trusted. After that you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed. There it is. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. He not only sealed us with the Holy Spirit, but He put Him inside of us to dwell in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because He hath given us of His Spirit. Something on the inside that's different. I'll just be honest with you. There's some telltale signs along the way that ought to help you. You ought to be able to tell that you're saved. If you was to sin and do wrong, and there was no chastening, according to the book of Hebrews, you're none of His. The Bible says you're bastards and not sons. Let's go look at that. Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. I love the chastening hand of God in that very aspect, for I know that I'm saved because I'm His tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and look in verse 5. And ye have forgot the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son, looky there, whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, catch that verse right there. He said, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. If you are part of Christ, and you sin, and you need chastisement, you will get it tonight. It's going to happen. If you do not get it, then you're not part of the family of God. I mean, you just don't pick up other kids and start whooping on them. I remember a day when you could. And sometimes you want to. And sometimes you should. Now they don't even want you correcting your own children, but I'll preach on that later at another time. But listen, He is going to correct. That's how I know I'm saved. I've been under conviction for sin that is God in my life. And He is chasing me. He has sealed us and He keeps us. But then there comes the time that confusion and doubt comes. I'm talking about being saved and knowing that you're saved. Doubt can creep in to your heart and to your life. Satan loves to make Christians doubt God. He likes to make you doubt your salvation. He just likes to make you doubt faith. He likes to make you doubt. Because he knows that as long as you're doubting, you're tore up and you're not going to be any good for God. He knows that tonight. Luke chapter 7. And John called unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? All right, hold on a minute. What's going on? What did John say? John sent two disciples to Jesus. John's been in prison for about a year. Y'all know this. I've preached it many times. John's been in prison for about a year at this time. And he said, he sent disciples to Jesus and said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Hey, listen, in John chapter 1, he stood out there on the banks of the, in Bethabara, out there in the Jordan River, and he pointed to Jesus coming over the hill out there, and he said, what, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. God told him, he said, the one that you baptize, I see the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and it remaineth on him. That's him. John seen that. John knew that. But yet this John sends disciples to Jesus and say, are you him or do we look for another? Something's happened. And when the men were come to him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? So they come to Jesus and ask that very question. John sent us. Are you him? Or do we need to be looking? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He said, go back and tell him the signs that you've seen. There are signs in your life that you're saved. The Holy Spirit resides there. There's been a difference made. There was a day that you asked him to save you. You see what I'm saying? You love the Bible. You obey the Bible. You love God's people. He sets up residence on the inside of you. I hate to use that word signs, but there are some telltale signs, if you'd let me say that. I love having my prayers answered. I know there's a God in heaven listening. He's answered my prayers. I'm talking about, and I'll say this again and again, I'm not telling you anything you've not heard me say before. He's answered my prayers. I'm talking about stuff that I have prayed from my heart, not out loud, for anybody in the whole world could hear. You do realize that the devil cannot read your mind nor know what's in your heart. Right? So that's what's important tonight. You need to understand that. I'm talking about things that I have prayed from my heart, and there is no other way that it could have worked out like it did because nobody else knew. You know what the devil will do even in our turn? He's done me this way. He'll jump up on your shoulder and that's just coincidence. That's just coincidence that it worked out the way that it did. Has he ever done you that way? Just coincidence. Sometimes I think it's my flesh telling me that. Just coincidence. I'm talking about being saved and knowing that you're saved. But it's important to get saved. Because when you get saved, not only does Christ set up residence in your life, not only is your name written down in heaven, not only, thank God for that. What he tells disciples in Luke chapter 10, he said, rejoice not that spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Heaven's penman wrote my name down. We sang that sometime, page 2. We ought to sing that with joy in our heart tonight, page 2, that he wrote my name down in heaven. You get a home in heaven, 2 Corinthians 5. Your name's there. You get peace and joy and comfort. And let me say this, that if you're doubting tonight or confused tonight, then I doubt what you have much comfort. And I doubt what you have much joy. Because that's just bothering you. And it'll continue to bother you until you get that thing settled in your heart. But number 3, and last of all, I'm going to close. What happens if you die in your lost condition tonight? If you reject Jesus Christ to be your Savior, then hell's going to get you when you die. That's not something to scare folk and that end of salvation. That's not to scare folk into making a decision. But that's the truth tonight. Hell's just real. Hell's full of fire and it's full of torments. But it's not prepared for you. It's not prepared for me. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. But I'll tell you this tonight. If you go there, you'll go as an intruder. And you'll still be there. No matter what. If you look in Luke chapter 16. I'll read this tonight and we'll close. Luke chapter 16. We find the story of the rich man and Lazarus tonight. And the Bible says over here in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. And fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Ain't that a wonderful thought tonight? Boy, we're going to be took care of when it's time to die. Carry us over. You read the story of where David had been on the run from Absalom. Absalom's dead now. And they're going to take him back and they're going to make him king again. And they have to come down to the Jordan River and cross over. And you know what they send for David? They send a ferry boat. I'm glad there'll be a ferry boat when I get ready to cross Jordan. I like that thought tonight. Amen. I don't have to worry about crossing alone. We sing that old song every now and again. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. But see, here's the thing. If you die in your sin, you're just like the rich man. And the Bible said right here, the rich man also died, was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass from to us that would come from thence. It's a place of eternity. You either live forever or die forever. If you die and go to hell, you'll die forever. You see the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation, chapter 20 over there, and he's at verse 11 where he talks about, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whom space the heaven and the earth fled away. And he talks about all the dead that was brought up before the Lord Jesus Christ there. You do realize that that's going to be the one that judges you if you're lost in your sin and you die. He said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's where you'll spend eternity if you're lost tonight. But I've done great things, preacher. Matthew 7 said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the will of the Father? For you to trust Christ. That's the will of the Father tonight. Why would you put it off? Why would you wait? What's a man profit? What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul tonight? I'm glad tonight that the Bible tells me that I can know that I'm saved. But if you ain't saved, I want you to come and get saved. Now, let's bow our heads across the house tonight, if we would. Jeff, let's get us a verse of invitation tonight. Maybe you've never been saved. I know it's a Sunday night crowd. You say you might have been better off to preach it this morning. I really thought about it, but the Lord just wouldn't give me liberty. But maybe you've never been saved. I want you to pay attention to me. Tonight's your night. If the Lord Jesus Christ is knocking on your heart, these kids around here figured out that that is one of my most favorite verses. Is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice, he said, and will open the door. He said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. All you got to do is open the door. Just come to Christ tonight if he's knocking on your heart. Listen, you don't have to wait till we start singing to come. You can come on. You said, preacher, I've made a profession. I've listened, and those things that you've talked about, they're there. But boy, I'm struggling. I'm struggling hard with some things. Listen, come and talk to him. He can help you tonight. He can help you. He can help you. If you need to come and get saved, we're going to pray, and we're going to sing. If you need to come, I'll meet you right down here. Listen, you get somebody around you to come with you. If you don't want to come by yourself, preacher, I'm backward. I can't step out and go on my own. Listen, get somebody. They'll come with you. They'll come. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help tonight in this invitation. Face somebody lost, save them. Lord, I pray that you've gave comfort to somebody tonight and give them assurance in their heart of their salvation. And Lord, let them know that they're saved if they are. But if there's some folk here tonight that is not saved, might be a man, woman, boy, or girl, might be one that's come to the age of accountability that just needs to come and get saved tonight, I pray that they will. There may be folk here that just have struggles in their heart. I pray that you would help them tonight. Help in this invitation. For this in Jesus' name. Amen.